on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider.
Direct coming to you in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7 FM, WTTN 1580 AM, and in Waukesha on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. Remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. And I want to tell you about a Trump rally. I'll tell you about a Trump rally that's coming up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There was a Trump rally in North Carolina that was canceled because Trump has been summoned to court to give testimony. Ivanka, too, by the way, on their finances. Remember, he is subject to a number of different deposition demands and subpoenas for various misconduct. Obviously, his people in the January 6th insurrection. So far, he hasn't been subpoenaed. But in Fulton County, Georgia, on the extortion of Brad Raffensperger, so far he hasn't been subpoenaed, but in New York he has been subpoenaed. In New York he has been subpoenaed by Letitia James, the Attorney General, to give testimony on his crooked finances, to give testimony on the fact that he will value buildings, very expensive buildings, one way for tax purposes and another way to inflate his assets to get loans. And you remember that he was being criminally investigated for that. That, by the way, is a felony. I've been involved in cases where, I know of cases anyway, where somebody will have some sort of dealership, and they'll inflate their inventory and then understate it for tax purposes. Alvin Bragg, the DA out there, a bad DA, terrible DA, got in on an identity politics campaign, pulled the plug, said that he couldn't convict Trump. So now it's all civil, but he has to testify. There is a rally coming up in Milwaukee on August 20 by Donald Trump. Keep that in mind. August 20, Donald Trump in Milwaukee. I don't know where it's going to be. But I think he has to be told, quite frankly, that we do not want his cult spreading up here. Go to the lines. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind 8, Gene of Eau Claire.
Good morning, Matt. Great show as usual. This has been truly the crime of the century. This has been an all-out attack on everything we hold near in the fabric of how we live in our country and how we exist, supposedly, with things going smooth, as, respect for our laws and our justice system, because if we don't have that, we don't have anything. And what we have here is like a weapon. No, nobody in their right mind would just come and bomb the United States of America. But gol darn it, they are bombing us from the inside out. We got weapons, and we got them literally, and we've got them figuratively, attacking us every gol darn day. And we almost had the most important part of our democracy explode right in our face. We saw this crime of the century. Every single person that was involved in this mass execution of our democracy, trying to take it out. Could you imagine if that would have went through? And people, I was shocked, Matt. I mean, I was shocked watching this. I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Here, everything that I had learned and lived for in my country, even though I wasn't in the military, I did a lot of other things in my life, to watch this be attacked in front of my eyes. and these people were going to the Capitol. That that cry, that murderous cry, it play over, and every time I hear that thing, you can hear the hate in his voice. You can hear him going, because that guy lost, and he's going to take back what's his. But the most important part is every goddamn state, to include our state, pulling this clandestine attack. And those people
in our state. No, Gene, you're making excellent points. I love your passion, as always. And really what's going on here is, and we've been treating this in every show, and obviously we can't hit every attack on our democracy in every show, but they're doing it. There's a constitutional argument they have that the legislatures who are gerrymandered will pick the electors, not the presidential election. They are saying there's a case from North Carolina that the Supreme Court is hearing this fall that would say if they go a certain way, that the state Supreme Courts can do whatever they want and no court and no governor can intervene. And all of this is false. And let me tell you, I'm going to throw something out and then we're going to go back to the lines because we have somebody in the line. There's nothing in the Constitution that says that the Supreme Court can review or overturn anything. Did you know that? Nothing in the Constitution. The Supreme Court in Marbury v. Madison 200 years ago said they had that power. They're the only ones. They don't have an army. We're going to get to that some more. Go to the lines. Don, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Don?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Matt. You mentioned Watergate earlier when comparing the, you know, the January 6th attacks and the hearings to what was going on at Watergate. And, you know, I'm old enough to remember that, you know, President Nixon, we're talking about a breaking in and entering of a hotel room. And Nixon, you could argue, was loosely tied to it. You could say he had plausible deniability, and they did everything they could to cover it up because they knew back then that that was a big scandal coming from the White House. This was an actual public, violent, attempted overthrow of our republic, and I'm with you. Why isn't this being prosecuted? Why isn't this not, why aren't people more appalled by what had taken place?
Right. Yeah. You know, and that's excellent. And let me just hit the comparison thing. You know, some people go, well, there's no comparison. I think that's probably true. You know, I was around, obviously. I had just gotten out of the Navy when Watergate happened. And it was a burglary of in the Watergate Hotel, which is now, it's a, if you go by, the Watergate is a very upscale condominium type complex. But in any event, the Democratic National Committee had a headquarters there. And these guys, these burglars, were sent in to look through the files. Now, why they did that, remember, George McGovern was our nominee. It was clear Nixon was going to beat him. I have no idea why they did it. And the other thing, that was a physical burglary. Here we have Russia and other people hacking into the Democratic National Committee files. Electronically hacking in and stealing it by printing it out is no different from physically going in and copying copies of the copy machine. And everybody in the Republican Party is, oh, well, the Russians are, well, it was a burglary. They're a criminal government. But to get back to Nixon, Nixon, as far as I know, didn't order that burglary. He may not have even been told about it in advance. Where they got Nixon was on the cover-up. Once it came out, instead of Nixon firing people who needed to be fired and giving all the facts, and then he would have gone down in history as the guy that opened up relations with China. He's the one that put in the EPA, the Environmental Protection. Did you know that? The Environmental Protection Agency. Economically and socially, he would be looked on as a liberal right now. But he was a sneaky guy, and he covered it up. And, Don, I am going to say a scandalous thing that nobody will like to hear or that nobody would like to believe. The only reason Nixon resigned and was going to be impeached is because the Democrats had an overwhelming majority in the Senate. In the 74 elections, they had 67 seats. That's enough with no Republicans. And in those days, the filibuster was different. You had to get up on your feet and start reading the Bible and Shakespeare and all that until you fainted. Okay? So, you know, it's just different. And back then, back then, the handwriting was on the wall, and these Republicans were all sanctimonious, and they go, oh, well, Nixon, you got to get out. And then they go, psst, you better get out, because you're going to be impeached and convicted, and there's nothing we can do about it. Now we only have 50 Senate votes, and two of them are suspect. Manchin and Sinema, in my view, are quite suspect, very, very suspect.
Yeah.
They won't bust the filibuster, which they can easily, just majority, for Voting Rights Act, for anything. They won't bust it.
Right.
They won't bust it. So we have basically a minority, and somehow Schumer cobbled it together as a majority to get himself in as majority leader. Big difference now is, yes, what Trump did was a cover-up and wrong and sneaky, but it was not inciting people to go up and murder people in the Capitol with AR-15s and knives and brass knuckles and homemade napalm. I mean, that it was not.
Yeah.
Having said that, you need unnegotiable integrity in, you need it in the presidency. You cannot have a president who is putting himself above the country, who doesn't believe in the rule of law.
Yeah.
You cannot have a president, absolutely can't have a president, who says, I'm going to stay in power even though I lose an election by overturning the results with a mob and with a sneaky thing. I'm going to have my Justice Department say this fraud and have state legislators like Voss just vote me in anyway. That will lead to revolution. That will lead to civil war.
Yeah.
That is what they do, Don, in Africa, Asia, Middle Eastern countries, jihadist countries. That does not happen in America. Don, thanks a lot for calling in. Excellent, excellent
comment.
You got
it. Thanks, Matt.
Look forward to you calling in again in the future.
You got it.
Okay, well, there's a couple of things very, very important. Lindsey Graham down in Atlanta, has been ordered to appear by a judge on August 2nd before a grand jury, and he's dragging his feet, and he's saying he's a senator. He's on the Judiciary Committee. There he can't come in. This isn't ancient Rome, where they walked around in togas and lay on velvet couches and had people dangle grapes in their mouth. This is America. Get in there, Graham, or put him in jail for contempt. We're on a break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
This is loud. This is where I belong. Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Connor, how about who's on the line? Let's put somebody on.
Here comes the sun, I say, it's all
okay,
right.
Okay, let's go to the lines. Jacqueline, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Jacqueline?
Little darling, it's been a long call.
Are you talking to me?
Yes, go ahead, Jacqueline. Thank you.
Okay, I can't. The 92.7 is not coming in on my radio.
Okay, well, can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but I'm talking on my telephone. I'm not listening to the radio.
You know, that's fine. Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's going out. Anybody else can get it. But I'm glad to be talking to you, Jacqueline. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today?
Oh, well, I listen to your show when I can. This is crazy what's happening.
Yeah, so do you have an issue, Jacqueline, that you're interested in tossing out there? Question?
Well, I was trying to, I called the FCC to see why you weren't on the air, because my radio is not, it works otherwise.
Yeah, we're we're on it. It should be fixed by this afternoon.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, whatever it is, Jacqueline, I'm not sure, but I can hear you.
Okay.
And a lot of people have been calling in, so if there's a glitch with one of the stations, that will be fixed shortly. Thanks a lot for calling in, Jacqueline. I really appreciate appreciate your continuing to listen. I'll tell you what, Devil Ray, this whole network. Is the principal liberal voice in opposition to a lot of different voices for right-wing talk radio. Right-wing talk radio permeates the state and the country. There are very few liberal talk radio stations. This is one of them. This is one of them. And we don't hold anything back. And by the way, we're not doctrinaire in any respect. I mean, I get calls from people on the left saying, Matt, what are you doing? Well, I'm going to tell it like it is, Jacqueline. I'm going to tell it like it is. Anyway, we're going to go back to national politics. Moscow Mitch, one of the sneakiest sorts that has ever infested the U.S. Senate, Moscow Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, has now threatened to sink, in other words, to filibuster and to block a bipartisan piece of legislation with plenty of Republicans backing it, which is to stand up to China to boost U.S. investment in tech, including computer chips, really essential tech. As you know, with the pandemic and the supply chain problems and with the Chinese theft of intellectual property, our companies have been somewhat at a disadvantage. And the Senate got together and they said, we are going to put in a bill that's going to provide for investment by the United States in conjunction with private companies to stand up to China. Moscow Mitch of Kentucky is going to stop that. He's going to filibuster it. He's going to threaten his Republican caucus that there better not be 10 of them, which is what it would need to get to 60 votes, to somehow ram that through his filibuster. Then the sneaky dog, sneaky Kentucky dog, Moscow Mitch McConnell, what does he do? He goes to Chuck Schumer and he goes, I'll let it go forward. It's a good bill, but Biden has to agree to stop any attempt to push his economic agenda going forward. In particular, what he's got to do is say he won't go forward with the soft infrastructure bill or anything else to weaken the country, to weaken the Democratic Party, to weaken Biden. And that's treason. I mean, to say that you are not going to stand up to Russia and China, and in this case it's China, but in other cases it's been Russia, because you want to blackmail the president into stopping his economic agenda when he has 2 years left on his presidency, that's treason. That's treason. McConnell did it before when he refused to let Merrick Garland go forward when Obama was president. To be confirmed, that was a year before the election. McConnell said it was too close to an election. But then when Amy Coney Barrett got rammed through in lame duck, Ginsburg didn't die till October. Trump lost the election 2 weeks later. They rammed her through in lame duck, appointed by a guy who lost the election. That crooked-toed Moscow Mitch McConnell of Kentucky did that. You must understand something. The Republican Party will injure the United States deliberately for their short-term political advantage. You have to understand that. If you do not understand that, you do not understand what's going on in our government. What led up to this is Biden has sat down with Manchin, and Manchin is a guy who, frankly, has stabbed us a few times himself, even though he says he's a Democrat. And he's getting Manchin to say, okay, I will go ahead with let me just shuffle this around here. I'm going to go ahead in soft infrastructure. I had opposed soft infrastructure before. Now I will do it. If you do X, Y, and Z, cut out anything on climate, cut out this, cut out that, cut out that. But I will negotiate on pharmaceuticals now. I will do this. So Biden and Manchin had started to cook up and put together a soft infrastructure bill that's nowhere near what Biden wanted, but it's something. It is something. And McConnell got wind of it. And it doesn't matter whether he's opposed to it or not. He's not opposed to it. He just wants to weaken the Democratic Party and Biden, and he does that by hurting the country. And he is now opposing the Chinese, anti-Chinese legislation that would boost us in computer chips. Go to the lines. Mark from the SAC, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mining Day. Mark from the SAC.
Well, you kind of hit the nail on the head there. I wouldn't trust Mitch McConnell as far as China goes in any way, because I think his wife, even though she's Taiwanese, that or of Taiwanese extraction, I mean, I think I have plenty of business dealings with China. And by doing it, partially to enrich himself as well. I mean, that, you know, the Republicans are lucky that the rules are not the same as they were, you know, that they'd like to drag us back to, because otherwise Biden would have, you know, the, his men of violence approaching them and taking them out. I mean, it's they want to drag us, our country, back into to the 1540s, I think, and where people were executed for, you know, very different religious beliefs, that they're not happy with, you know, they're happy with the 1840s. I think they want to go back to the 1740s, where people had their tons branded for blasphemy.
Mark, I love your passion. We're going to a break, unfortunately, but I'm going to respond to you right after the break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. Mark, thanks for calling. There were some good comments. I'll get back to commenting on them after the break. Lines are going are open. We're going to a break. Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up, starting with Andy of Beaver Dam. Thank you for calling, Andy of Beaver Dam. What's on your mind, today?
Well, Matt, Mitch McConnell, you know, he was, I forget the name of the Chief Justice, but Supreme Court nominee that, you know, got knocked out back in the 90s. And Mitch at that time decided that's it. We're going to do everything we can to put through conservative Supreme Court justices and whatever. And, of course, what's resulted, you can see today with what happened in this session of the Supreme Court. And they have a Republican or a Democratic governor in Kentucky, and yet this guy continues to get reelected in Kentucky. And that's kind of a mystery to me. I don't know. But what are you watching in the history of Mitch? You know, what are your thoughts on his durability? You know, he's 80 years old. And so forth, but you know, I don't know what he has. You know, he must have a hell of a big war chest.
Yeah, thanks for calling. I'm going to comment and then go right to the line, so don't hang up anybody. But the two quick things. One is the justice you may be talking about may have been Robert Bork, like in the late '80s, but. Yeah. Robert Bork was a weird guy, and he wanted to overturn things like the Supreme Court opinion that permitted, that stopped states from forbidding birth control. You know, the guy was a nut, okay, and he got stopped. Moscow Mitch started out as a liberal. He was pro-civil rights in the early 80s in the Congress, and then he realized the only way he could stay in is as a conservative. I don't know how he keeps getting elected down there. You know, he has a lot of money, but the other thing about him, and I'm not sure of his exact age, but whatever it is, he's no spring chicken. This guy is, you know, this guy eats his dessert first, okay? He does not buy green bananas, this guy. So who knows when he's going to get out of there. The problem is the Republican Party is split between the Trump cult and a couple of people who think they're moderates, and the moderates are losing. So, listen, I don't have an awful lot of confidence in the Republican Party, but thanks for calling. Next is Robert of West Allis. Thanks for calling, Robert. What's on your mind today?
Hi, Matt. What's on my mind is the lack of prosecution from Merrick Garland and, you know, and Christopher Wray. Just, they haven't been taking things seriously enough. You know, it's been over 500 days. You know, we see the games that Steve Bannon is playing, you know, with contempt of Congress and subpoenas. And, you know, I really think they're emboldened and they think they can get away with it because they really don't see much being done, you know, to Trump and his inner circle. You know, yesterday, it was really interesting. I was listening to someone, or it was the day before, and they were drawing a contrast between Adolf Hitler and what's happened in the United States. And, you know, I hate making comparisons like that because there aren't many people that are as bad as Hitler. But if you go back to 1923 with the beer push riots, you know, when they basically tried to get three people that ran Bavaria to overthrow the government, you know, at that time, he was sentenced to 5 years. I think Hitler served 18 months. He used the trial to grandstand his ideas, and then while he was in jail, he wrote the book. But, I mean, is that we're going to end up with? I mean, at that time in the Weimar Republic there, you know, people, you had socialists, and you had Nazis, and you had other groups fighting in.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. You're fading a little bit. I want to respond. That's an important comment you're making.
Basically, what I'm saying is, you know, if they don't prosecute these guys and take things seriously, you know, are we setting ourselves up for another coup attempt or violence in the street between people with different political ideologies?
Right.
That was my comment. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. No, I agree that Merrick Garland, I've been somewhat disappointed, although there's some indication now he's stepping up his game. There's a debate going on, not only in the Democratic Party, but in moderate Republicans. Is it worse for the country if Trump is criminally charged, or is it worse if he isn't? If he's not criminally charged, people think they can get away with this stuff. But if he is, he doesn't have a majority, but he probably has a 30% hardcore. And do they get violent and all that? It's going to take some real leadership. And I come down that he should be prosecuted, because if you do not prosecute somebody who says, I'm going to lead an armed mob to the Capitol, they're not here to harm me, and then he extorts Raffensperger in Atlanta, and then he says, we're going to say there was fraud and the gerrymandered Voss-type state legislators will pick the president, that could happen again. That could happen again. And I come down, you got to prosecute that. Thanks an awful lot for calling. I'm Robert. Joe, my friend, Joe of Madison, thanks for calling. You're next. What's on your mind today, Joe?
I'm wondering if you can talk a bit more, particularly because of the attention that you've given this, the issue of this upcoming case before the Supreme Court that looks at whether state legislatures can basically vote in electors rather than the citizens of a state voting for the electors. I was looking at a Twitter thread by a man named David Pepper who writes about the problems with the state government and how that relates to citizens actually getting their right to vote guaranteed. And he spoke of, and I'm sorry that I don't know this more accurately, and I'm wondering if you can expand on this, what he describes as the guarantee clause within our national constitution. And he said it's the language of guarantee is the strongest word that you can use, and that the founders chose that word for a meaning, because of the meaning that it has, and the idea being that that they guarantee that there is a Republican form of government. And in their mind, that Republican form of government means the citizens are in control, not a monarchy, which is what they've just been through, but the citizens are in control. And so he is basically talking about the fact that as we speak of an independent state legislature that decides on its own rather than the people, that it would be extremely at complete odds with what the founding fathers were attempting to create with their new government that they were trying to put into place. I'm wondering if you could talk about this a little bit, Matt, and particularly because of this upcoming court case and because of the fact that this is being touted that the state legislators should decide elections. Can you talk about that a bit? And I'll just take your response off air. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joe. You've raised some profound and very deep constitutional and historical questions, and I do want to hit that right now. Very, very important. First of all, on the guarantee clause, what you're saying is it's true. The Constitution and the original Declaration of Independence, you can read it that way too, guarantees a Republican form of government. Now, what does Republican mean? It does not mean Republican Party or Democratic Party, because in a republic, you have democratic elections. That's the reason the two parties took these words. But what is a Republican form of government? In the 1770s, much of Europe was ruled by kings, by monarchies. And in the Enlightenment, and it goes back to Rousseau and Voltaire, it goes back to Locke, it goes back to, well, Thomas Jefferson was a son of the Enlightenment, the French Revolution. Ours was the starter, the kickstart. What ours said was, we're going to have a republic. People, the rights lie in the people, not a monarch. Not a monarch appointed by God, had divine rights, the people. And we wrote a constitution that is probably the most brilliant political document ever in history. And it provided for a president, it provided for a Senate, it provided for a House of Representatives, and it all comes from the people. The two provisions that you're referring to in the Constitution that have been misinterpreted by the Republicans or used by them, one of them is at issue in the North Carolina case this fall. One says that the presidential electors shall be selected, you know, in a manner, you know, as set out by the state legislatures. What that meant was, in 1788, let me be blunt, George Washington had just won the Revolutionary War. He was the biggest guy in the country. He was the 800-pound gorilla. Everybody wanted him. So, but we started with presidential elections in the 19th century. What this Supreme Court seems to want to do is go back in time and say that 200 years of presidential elections doesn't count. And legislatures can do it, but they weren't gerrymandered back then. They didn't know how to gerrymander. Now you'd have gerrymandered legislatures picking them. So that's number one. Joe, we have to go to a break right now. I'm going to hit the rest of that plus your second point after the break. Thanks for calling in. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to finish up commenting on Joe's excellent points in her question. So there are two things at issue now. One of them is we're guaranteed a republic. The Republicans will say, well, you voted for the legislature, so that's your input. And the legislature can do whatever it wants. But the legislature, state legislators, are gerrymandered. So in Wisconsin, Democrats may get 53% of the assembly vote and get one third. Instead of 53%, they get 33%, 34% of the assembly. That's not a republic. That's not a republic when that happens. Secondly, there are two other provisions in the Constitution that they're talking about. One of them is on the presidential electors shall be picked at a time, you know, in a manner set out by the legislature. That's because George Washington's up for president in 1788. The British just signed a peace agreement. They attacked us again in the War of 1812. Things were urgent. No one ran against George Washington. There was no presidential election. That was 1788. But in the 19th century, we started presidential elections. All through the 19th century, U.S. senators were appointed by the legislature. Then there was a constitutional amendment sparked by Fighting Bob La Follette and the Republican progressives that made them directly elected by the people, and that was 100 years ago. But we've had 200 years now of presidential elections, and what the Supreme Court is saying is we're going to go back to 1788 when there was just George Washington and let Voss decide the elections in this state and people like him elsewhere. That is unconstitutional. That's not a republic. They will take away your ability to vote for president. And if you continue, even if you're a Republican in a gerrymandered district, to vote Republican, you're taking away your right to vote. The other one is just as bad. There is a provision that says when it comes to setting the time, place, and manner of elections, it's up to the state legislature. But then it says, unless the Congress overrules them, unless the Congress decrees differently. So you can say, well, the Congress can do it, but Moscow Mitch will filibuster it. It will take 60 votes, you see? It's not a republic. The North Carolina case that's coming up in October was a case where the North Carolina legislature, as bad as the Wisconsin legislature and gerrymandered themselves for another 10 years. The North Carolina Supreme Court overturned it. And they're conservative, and they said, this is too much. The North Carolina Supreme Court. Now the U.S. Supreme Court, it looks like they're going to overturn that and say the legislature can do whatever it wants. They haven't thought it out. Can the legislature do, for instance, what they did in Arizona and say there's only one voting site in all of Phoenix with millions of voters? What if they said black people couldn't vote in an election? What if they could say that there are no absentee ballots, forget drop boxes, and the election will be held from 10 in the morning till 12 in the morning, till 12 noon? There's no limit to what they are doing to manipulate. Now I'm going to say something constitutionally that no Republican is going to be able to get me on, and that is this. There is nothing in the Constitution that gives the U.S. Supreme Court to overrule anything. Anything. All of this is BS, including overturning Roe v. Wade. Arguably, they had no authority to even put... They have no authority to do any of this. There was a case, Marbury versus Madison, 200 years ago, and it was a very obscure issue about corporate status, and they objected to the fact that the Congress wanted the Supreme Court to do something. The Supreme Court said, we don't have to obey Congress. That's all they said. So, yes, they overruled something of Congress by defending themselves. Then in the Dred Scott case in the late 1850s, they said an African-American couldn't be considered a citizen and could go back into slavery, started the Civil War. People didn't put up with that. Let me give you an example. Let us say that the U.S. Supreme Court, which was very conservative when Lincoln came in, had put out a decision that said the South has a right to secede and Lincoln can't send troops. You know what Abraham Lincoln would have done? He would have arrested them. He would have put them in jail. A Maryland court tried to do something like that, not quite as extreme. He ignored them. At some point, the people have to speak. At some point, the people have to speak, and they have to speak right now. And if this illegitimate Supreme Court, and it is illegitimate, because they rammed through the tie-breaking vote in lame duck when they held up Obama's pick for over a year. And if Ruth Bader Ginsburg had just held on for a few more months, it wouldn't have happened. They rammed her through. And if that's what's going to take away everything that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, Alexander Hamilton, Benjamin Franklin, John Jay did, I don't think so. I don't think so. That is where we are right now. This is of the utmost importance. You cannot just sit back and yawn. Got to do something about this. We're going back to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Good morning, man. I want to touch on what you said with the Supreme Court. You know, we don't have a balanced Supreme Court. Judges are supposed to be unbiased. They're supposed to look at all the facts. Well, we gerrymandered, or the Republicans gerrymandered the Supreme Court in Wisconsin and national. And if people aren't aware of that, they've lost all their freedom. That's where the freedom begins and ends. And if they don't do anything about it, too bad, so sad, because democracy's over. The Constitution was a great piece of writing, but now it doesn't mean anything. And last but not least, when you run into people on the street, which I do every single day, hey, how's your day? How's it going? Oh, have you seen gas prices? Oh, inflation. Biden's killing us. And then in a nice way, I said, not really. You have to understand why inflation's where it's at. And Biden would like to force the oil companies to lower their prices, which he has the right, but he doesn't do it. I don't know if you know that. And it's amazing how they're so brainwashed by Fox. And a friend of mine was talking that yesterday, and I said, hey, you want to have a good day the next day? Turn off Fox for one day. and just look at your life and look how good it is. You're always complaining about something that you think is going to happen. Is these jokers on Fox are terrified of January 6th. If that happens, they're not even going to have a news crew. What are they going to talk about? They want to divert with the border and Hunter and inflation and, oh, my gosh, how Biden is failing. It's all BS, people. They're brainwashing you. So you're right. We've got to stand up and do something now. The midterms are around the corner. Thanks, Matt. Have a great day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. As usual, terrific. And, yeah, I get back to this. I'll tell you what. It is up to the electorate ultimately, but with gerrymander, that was not anticipated by the founding fathers. More to the point, our U.S. Supreme Court is illegitimate. Our U.S. Supreme Court is illegitimate. When that happens, it's a constitutional crisis. That is happening now. They are not honest. They are out to destroy our democracy. Do something about that. Keep that in mind. We're going back to the lines. Daryl of Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Daryl?
Hey, good morning, Matt. It's an honor to be on your show. And in full transparency to the listeners, I am Daryl Williams. I'm a candidate for the United States Senate. And one of the things I wanted to invite people out to the protest that we're having at WTMJ 4 today at 720 East Capitol. And the reason behind this is it's important. All across this nation, including right here in Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin, we've been stressing to our voters the importance of voting and knowing their who's on the ballot and their views so they can make an informed voting decision. But as you know, the WTMJ televised debate is coming up on July the 17th, and there are some criteria that we were not made aware of. Some candidates, four candidates, were made aware of it in May, but the others were not made aware of it until June 21st, with a deadline of trying to meet 5,000 individual contributors to your campaign in less than, I would say, 6 days, because you had the Democratic convention that was taking place. And I don't think most people know that that you cannot be a part, according to them, of the televised debate unless you have 5,000 individual contributors to your campaign or 5% in the Marquette poll. And this is despite being on the ballot. And this was new information, and I've been...
Daryl, thanks for calling in. Peter Pekarsky called in, and I want to introduce Daryl Williams, everybody. Daryl Williams is a candidate for the U.S. Senate, and he has aired the same point that another candidate for the U.S. Senate, Peter Pekarsky, made a little bit on this show, and that is they were excluded from a televised debate, and their position is that as registered candidates, they've gotten their signatures, and that they should have been included. And apparently there is a demonstration today in Milwaukee to uphold that position. I always, Daryl, come down on the side of complete accessibility and transparency. And if people have good ideas, they should be heard. So glad that you're running. Glad that Peter's running. I'm glad that we have citizens that are standing up for our democracy. Daryl, thanks a lot for calling in. I want to hit one other point right now quickly. That is that there are people in the Republican Party that are fighting back against Trump. Believe it or not, in Michigan, Betsy DeVos and Trump are fighting over 8 primaries. So stand by. There's warfare going on all over the place. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call-ins, as always. Matt Flynn Direct back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.